God is in control. She's a happy girl.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries, where we believe that all of us have to come to Jesus like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Our highest priority is making God real in your life. Whether you are listening in our app, in your favorite podcasting app, or on our website at watwm.org, we invite you to sit down with us as we look to the scriptures to learn more about God and to strengthen your daily walk with Jesus Christ.
Living her life for Christ. She's a happy girl.
How do you treat Jesus? At first glance, this may seem an odd question, but as we look at Matthew 26:6-16, let's consider the scene in the home of Simon the leper and contrast it with the scene in the palace of Caiaphas. They were radically different. Both scenes took place within hours of each other, revealing that who Jesus is and what he says has great impact. He cannot be ignored. How is he treated in your home? Either he is believed and beloved, or he is hated and rejected. Well, I'm sure no one in your home would admit to hating Jesus. Neglect, dismissal, or unbelief, even ignorance of him, is rejection. There can be no middle ground. Join us in this podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries as Kim takes us on a journey through the scriptures, revealing the truth about our actions.
You know, there's a truth to the saying that you'll know a person by the way they behave. And as we look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 16, we're going to see two very different reactions to the presence of Jesus. And they take place in two different homes. One is in the palace of Caiaphas, and that is the second one. And one is in the home of the leper, Simon. And when we begin to look at these two accounts in Scripture, I want you to think about how Jesus is received in your home and how the way you receive him greatly impacts the way he's revealed in you. And it matters how you act. It matters how you behave. And if you say you are a child of the Most High God, your actions should lead others to him. Your footsteps should take people on a journey that places them in front of Jesus. You should be shining your light so that others can see Jesus in you. And as we begin to read in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 6, I ask that you pay close attention and figure out how it applies to you. Because God's scripture is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. The lessons to be learned apply today just as they did then. And here we go. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for her, a memorial of her." Now, here we have the woman with the alabaster box, who washes his feet and dries them with her hair. we read this account in further places in the scripture, but today what I want to focus on is Jesus is in the house of the leper. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus identified with the leper. He was not too good to be with him. He was in no way unwilling to be with him. In fact, he had gone to Bethany to be with his friends and to rest. And of his friends was the Simon the leper. And no doubt, Jesus had healed him previously, but he was still identified as a leper. And Jesus went to his home to commune and to fellowship with him. And in Revelation 3:20, we are told that he is knocking on our heart's door, asking us to come in, that we would sup and fellowship with him, and he would be with us. See, but the people of that day, they were shunning the leper. And I'm afraid that today we as Christians are shunning the lepers. We're shunning the people who don't walk and talk like we do. We forget that we all come to Jesus as the woman at the well did in John chapter 4. We forget that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we are unclean, and everything we do is as filthy rags, and it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us, that enables us to live a life that is pleasing to him. And so we judge people on the outside, and that's a whole nother message, but you can find that in James. And we sometimes don't want to be associated with certain people because we don't want people to think we're that kind of person. Listen, Jesus came to you, and you are a vile sinner regardless of what you think. You had rejected him, and you'd been born into sin, and you were as filthy rags, but Jesus came to you and brought you to where he was. That's what he's telling us. Hey, bring the people to him and allow him to clean them up, that the only one who could throw the stone be the one that loves them and fixes them and cleanses them. And then you be what you should be to them, which is a person who loves the Lord and thereby loves them. Jesus has given us the commission to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And he didn't say your Christian neighbor either. He said, love your neighbor. See, Jesus healed the leper. Those people around us that aren't walking and talking in the way that Jesus would have them, they need a touch from the Master. And you need to go to where they are and bring them to where he is. Your life needs to shine a light. So before we really delve into Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 6 that I read in your hearing, I want you to see where Jesus is. He's in the house of the leper. I also want you to see that Jesus went to the house of the leper that he might rest. He was resting. See, sometimes we get so busy that we don't rest. See, it's in our rest, in our quiet time, that we usually seek the Lord. It's when we be still and know that he is God, as we're told in Psalms 46:10, that we are able to be restored and renewed and refreshed, that we may continue to pour out. Jesus was often found praying. When Jesus had hung out in Bethany to be with his friends so he could rest and be refreshed. Let's take a look at the people we know that his friends were. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were his friends. You know, he hung out with the disciples. It matters who you hang out with. Yes, we are to go to those who are unbelievers and bring them to where he is. But our confidants, the people who counsel us, the people whose lives intertwine with ours, the people who we model and imitate. They need to be men and women of God. They need to be grounded and rooted in the scripture. They need to be able to exhort you and edify you and to help you understand that you have to stay in the right way. You've got to be in the lane where Jesus is. You got to be where under the spout where the glory comes out. You've got to be walking in his ways. You've got to be following his commandments. You got to be letting him be Lord of your life and King of your heart. You need accountability buddies who will point you to him, who love you enough to say, hey, let's check that action. Hey, let's check those words. Hey, let's get in the word together. Jesus' amount of his time was spent in the circle of his disciples. He often took them with him as he ministered to the people. But these were the people he surrounded himself with. The leper had been cleansed and he was part of his friend group. Who are you hanging out with? Who are you letting in your home? Who do you let in your home through your TV or your radio or your music? It's important. See, Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. And you know, it's an interesting thing when we have guests coming to our house. Nearly every one of us go through and we spot clean. We take a good look and we make sure that, you know, all the socks are not in the floor and the dishes are all put up and our house looks clean and neat for that guest to come in. I wonder if you knew that Jesus was coming to your house today. Do you remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. And when the Lord came by, the Lord saw him. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for I'm coming to your house today. If Jesus was passing by you in the street and said, hey, I'm coming to your house today, what would you need to run home and change? Would you need to try to find your Bibles? Would you need to blow the dust off of them? Would you need to kind of put away some magazines, or would you need to get rid of some CDs or kind of clear your Spotify list? What would you need to do so that you would feel okay for Jesus to come in? Because whatever that is what you need to do right now, because Jesus is in the house. If you are a believer and a Christian and part of the family of God, Christ Jesus dwells in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that Trinity is part of who you are. And he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Jesus loves you, this I know. So as we begin to look at this gathering of people at Simon the leper's house, we see that Jesus was a man with like passions like as we are. We see that he needed rest and he took it. We see that he surrounded himself with people who were good and cleansed. Jesus loves us and he showed us how to live. And as we begin to look in these verses in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 6, what we see is there's a woman with an alabaster box. And this alabaster box is filled with a precious ointment. And so she begins to pour the contents of her alabaster box on Jesus. And the 12 disciples that are gathered there are freaking out because they're like, what are we doing here? What a waste. She's pouring this precious ointment on you, Jesus. We could sell this ointment and feed the poor forever. And so they're looking at what she's doing and they're judging it. They're judging it as something that is wrong, something that should not be done. But I want you to think differently about the anointing of our Lord with the oil from the alabaster box. I believe it was an act of faith in our Lord. I believe she knew he was the Messiah, the anointed one. And so to signify that she believed in him as God's anointed, she had set him king of her life and she was giving him everything she had. She anointed him, giving him that place in her life and making him king. She was reverencing him. She was giving him everything she had. She was adoring him. It was an act of love and respect. If you look back in Luke chapter 7, there's a reference to him who loved and washed him, his feet with her tears. She loved him much. And there wasn't anything that she was willing to hold back. She couldn't give him enough. Nothing was too good for her Lord. She loved him, so she gave him the most precious thing she had, the oil in her alabaster box. She knew she could have sold it for her own wealth. She understood she could have used it for her self-gain. But nothing was too good for her Lord. How do those words hit you? Are you stingy with your tithes? Are you shortchanging him with your time? Have you compartmentalized your heart and gave him just a sliver? Do you rationalize everything you give him and all that you do for him? See, that's what they were doing. See, where there is true love in the heart, for Jesus, nothing will be thought too good, and no one or no thing will be good enough to give him. But here sat these individuals, they were thinking it was a waste. You got to be careful about thinking anything you give to Jesus is a waste, either anything you give or anyone else gives. See, sometimes we think, I've spent all this time telling my friend about Jesus and nothing's happening. I've just wasted my breath. I've wasted my time. Friend, that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. You are sowing seeds. You are tilling the ground of their heart. You don't know if that next time is going to be the one when the seed sets up and begins to take root. You don't know if the person right behind you is coming and is going to be able to say one more thing that allows that person to know Jesus. You don't know if you are just setting him up or her up to be able to see Jesus clearly so that they can receive them. Nothing you do in the name of Jesus is ever a waste. You may say to yourself, time and time again, I have given to the poor. They're still all around me. What good did I do? What a waste. I've even heard people go as far as to say, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and nothing has happened. I just wasted my breath and spent my time. These are all lies straight from the pits of hell. Jesus says in James chapter 5, verse 16, I believe it is, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You are moving heaven when you pray. The outcome is not up to you, but the income, the ingoing of your prayers to the heart of God is what he asks us to do. He says, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden and laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find help in time of need. You've not wasted one breath. You've not wasted $1 that you have done in the name of Jesus, being his hands extended and his feet. You cannot think that time is wasted that is spent in the service of God, or that money is wasted, which is laid out for any work of the Lord. Everything you give will be given back, pressed down and running over. When she gave the oil from the alabaster box, she simply was giving her love and devotion. And though it was precious, in her heart and mind, it would never be enough. What are you doing in the service of the Lord? What are you doing for him? If he's in your home right now, how are you adoring him? How are you loving him? How are you working for him? How are you serving him? Does your house look like Simon the leper's, where people are gathered to love him? The woman with the alabaster box is adoring him. what does your actions look like? You see, there's another part of this. Some of us are trained to reason. We're so caught up in our logic. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, depart from evil. We got to trust in him and lean not into our own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, in Proverbs 3:5-6. But see, the people around, they had a pretty good argument. They were saying it seemed wasteful. They could take that money and help the poor, but Jesus took that woman's part. Though they had what was seemingly a good argument, it wouldn't stand the test if she gave all she had because she loved him. Nothing could ever make that wrong. Be very careful about reasoning faith out of the equation. Jesus says without faith it is impossible to please him, and you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then what I want you to see is that there are some opportunities of doing good and good and good, which are just constant. That's what he's saying. He said, you're going to always have the poor among you. You'll always have an opportunity to help them and to care for them. But this is a rare opportunity because there are other opportunities of doing and getting good which come but seldom. They're short and uncertain, and they require peculiar diligence, and they should be preferred to all the others because it is a rare instance that you can give everything you have and that you can take a stance that says, I love the Lord and he is king of my life and he is sitting on the throne of my heart. The woman with the alabaster box full of precious ointment, she was faced with that opportunity, and she immediately seized that opportunity. She gave him all she had, expecting nothing in return. She just was loving him. It's a beautiful picture in the leper's home because he's cleansed now. The disciples are learning that it's greater to love, and that love covers a multitude of sins, and that there is never enough to repay God for what he's given us, which is why he does not require that. It is a gift, not of works. But those who have tasted and seen that he is good, those who understand who he is, those who love him and have entered into a relationship with him, they know that whatever they're giving isn't adequate, but it's all they have. And they give it with a heart that says, Lord, use me. Lord, send me. Lord, take me. Lord, here I am. Lord, I love you. This is all I have, but I give you myself. Is that what it looks like in your home? Is that what it looks like in your life? Or let's pick up in verse 14 and see if it's more like a Caiaphas house, the palace. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? They covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Immediately after an instance of perhaps the greatest kindness done to Christ, follows this instance of the greatest unkindness. Judas, who had walked with him and talked with him, was getting ready to betray him. He was trying to figure out just exactly how much money he could make. See, I submit to you that Judas's act of betrayal wasn't because he didn't love Jesus. It was because he loved money more than Jesus. Judas had been convicted or known, according to John 12:6, that he was a thief because he'd embezzled from the disciples. But he wasn't charged with the crime because Jesus loved him. And I want to submit to you that in the upper room, Jesus washes Judas's feet, just like he washed all of his other disciples, even John, the one whom Jesus loved, according to John, even Peter, who had loved him and walked with him, and all of the others. Jesus treated Judas with the same respect and love as he did each and every one of them, because Jesus is no respecter of persons, and he loved Judas. Judas just did not love him enough to overcome the power of his love of money. See, I believe it wasn't a hate or any negative feeling towards Jesus, but I believe it was his love of money and that nothing else mattered except getting more money that caused Judas to betray Jesus. Now, before you jump to some quick accusations about Judas, I want you to look at your house. Is there anything in your house or in your life that you're putting before Jesus? Are you skimming off the top to get all your bills paid and all the other things done before you pay your tithes? Are you loving that golf game so much that you've gone on a sabbatical from church and you're spending all spring and summer learning the game? All your extra money is going to that. Are you so caught up with making sure that your family has all the greatest things and can keep up with all of the latest trends that you're working day and night and you're sacrificing family time, you're sacrificing your Bible time, you're sacrificing prayer time, you're sacrificing the assembling of yourselves together in heavenly places with godly people, all so you can have more money? How about your intelligence? Are you just so caught upon how cool you are and how smart you are that you're trying to take all matters in your own hands and you only consult God, well, whenever you just made a big mess out of things? Anything that you put in front of God is an idol. For Judas, it was his money and it cost him a lot. For you, what is it? Is it your car, your house, your job, your trophy wife, your incredible husband, your children, your achievements, your work, your reputation, your fame, your glory? See, the Bible says that we should let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's his kingdom we're building, not our own. He had everything he wanted. He was welcomed wherever Jesus was. He needed nothing, yet his love for money caused him to open himself up and be used of the devil. He gave up Jesus, and it cost him everything. And then when you look in verse 16, he says, and from that time, he was looking for a way to betray him. He was strategizing on how to sin. I'm afraid some of you within the sound of my voice are strategizing on how to do the wrong thing. You're strategizing on how to try to circumvent the rules the Bible gives us. You are forgetting that these are not rules to punish us. They are not rules to cause us to feel hemmed in. They are the rules and the way that we live so that we can live the life that is best, the life that God has intended for us, so that we can have life and have it more abundantly when we stay within the boundaries of what God has given us. Then, my friend, we live the life that he intends for us to have, and we will be blessed beyond measure. We have joy unspeakable. We'll have a peace that passes understanding. We'll have the favor of God upon us. We may have rain that comes our way, but he's our umbrella. We may have problems that are obstacles, but he will move us over them, through them, or around them. We are never alone. He will strengthen us. He will equip us. He will guide us. He will lead us. And the life that you think is not what is really good for you, what is good for you is from the shepherd's point of view to walk the way he says, because he sees tomorrow. He holds tomorrow. Your future is in his hand. He wants only what's good for you. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of light. He wants you to live a life that is abundant and full, but it can only be done by walking and following him. The woman with the alabaster box, she held nothing back because she knew she couldn't outgive him. And he was so good, so precious and so great that nothing she did give him would ever match his amazing love toward her. But she gave what she had, and she gave it all. Friends, it's a very wicked thing to seek the opportunity to sin and to devise and strategize to do wrong. And once you commit one sin, it's easier to commit the next. Don't give yourself the opportunity to fall in that trap of sin. If you know you have an issue where your flesh wants to do worldly things, don't put yourself in a place where you can do it. If gambling is an issue for you, don't go to casinos. Don't vacation in Vegas. If you have a wandering eye, don't go places without your spouse. If money means everything to you, get back in the Word, stay in prayer, see God for who He is, because money will pale in comparison. Look, I don't know what it is that you would hold on to and not give back. I don't know what it is that you think in this world is worth losing your soul for, because the Bible says in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The rich man could not give up his riches, and he died so poor, because man's riches only last but a vapor. But there are eternal riches, eternal blessings that come to those who love him, like the woman with the alabaster box and the ointment, so precious and so fine. Yet she knew, paled in comparison to who Jesus was. Today's a new day. Give him the rightful place in your heart. Follow him and love and adore him with everything you have and all that you are. Remember, you are loved. Jesus loves you.
Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. You can visit the show notes for quotes from today's podcast and scripture references. We pray today has been a blessing, and we encourage you to reach out to us through our app, our website, or our Facebook page. You can find our app by searching for Woman at the Well Ministries in your app store or through our website at watwm.org. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/watwm. If you visit our website, you'll be able to subscribe to Bible Bits, a daily devotion written by Kim and delivered Monday through Friday by text message. Woman at the Well Ministries is a nonprofit organization dedicated to serving our Heavenly Father, and it is through your loving and generous support that our ministry continues to bless others. To learn how to partner with Woman at the Well Ministries, please visit our website. Thank you to the gospel group Fudge Creek for letting us use their hit song, Happy Girl. We greatly appreciate your prayers. We are praying daily for our listeners. Remember that God loves you. You are loved.
Happy girl, she's a happy girl, she's a happy girl, living a life for Christ, she's a happy girl. Not that melancholy never comes to plague her soul, she just knows whatever happens, God is. Happy girl.